Chapter 9. Deafness. Broadly speaking, there are three kinds of deafness. The first is purely physical, some imperfection of the eardrum or bone structure, resulting in a failure to detect the audio vibrations. As a result, communication is hampered or ceases altogether. The second kind of deafness is on a different level. There is no defect in the mechanism of the ear, but the sounds which reach the ear do not penetrate the mind. This is sometimes called mental deafness, because the mind is so preoccupied with one thing that it cannot receive impressions about any other. One of the principal differences between physical deafness and mental deafness is that the first is permanent and the second is intermittent. The third kind of deafness is observed in that condition where the sounds reach the ear and are recorded by the brain, and yet for some reason provoke no response in the soul. This kind is the most serious, for because of it the mind is never really illuminated, the heart is never stirred, and the will is never energized. The message of the Lord in the midst of the golden candlesticks is a call to shed soul deafness. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Associated with that hearing, in an inseparable relationship, as fruit is related to growth, is this word of exhortation, He that overcometh. Whether it be the tree of life, the hidden manna, power over the nations, the book of life, the new name, the crown of life, the white stone, the throne of glory, the precursor of all these is this, He that overcometh. Always associated with the master passion to overcome is the method of achievement, He that hath an ear, let him hear, as though to secure one is to be assured of the other. It suggests that if a man is able to hear in the way the king intends, then the victory is not in doubt. Mark, therefore, how serious a disease soul deafness can be. A famine of hearing. Amos leads us to the truth about deafness. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. Amos 8, verses 11 to 13. Notice the words carefully. Amos did not say that there was to be a famine of God speaking. It was not that God would refuse to communicate with his people, or had no more to say. It was not to be on God's part a capricious withholding of his word from those who desired to hear it. The famine came not from a failure in God, but from a defect in men. It was a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. It means that in the very presence of the word of God, spoken and continuously revealed, there was a condition in God's people which prevented them from discerning it. It was not that God ceased to speak, but that men lost the power to hear. It was soul deafness. Notice the outcome, a great restlessness, resulting in utter failure. They shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. When those who are called to find rest in God try to seek it without him, the bed proves too short and the covering too narrow. There is restlessness when those who once were in touch with the infinite lose the consciousness of its authority. Therefore the music is lost, the exaltation is dulled, the sense of assurance is gone. Life becomes superficial, and the deepest things are never realized. At last there is failure. Failure through famine is the worst of all. Notice how Amos describes it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. He chooses the brightest and the strongest to illustrate and signify the awfulness of the failure. Those most able to endure are those who faint. The highest powers, lacking true inspiration, will perish, all through being deaf to the words of the Lord. Idolatry, the cause. To know the cause is to understand the cure. Amos reveals it. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise again. The sin of Samaria was the worship of the calf. The worshippers swore by it and said, Thy God, O Dan, liveth. Here is a great principle. If the true God is dethroned, ere long his voice is not heard. Deafness follows idolatry. When the creature is substituted for the Creator, the senses are hardened and the powers are weakened. Idols become a burden because they have to be carried. Isaiah said it, Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. They are a burden to the weary beast. Any man who is satisfied with something short of the truth is on the way to famine. To come to terms with the ungodly is to prepare an idol. To magnify self and do homage is to make a graven image. These are the forces which seal men's ears to the truth. If the God is insensate, so are the worshippers at last. Mark the cure. When the idols are banished, the famine is over. Cleanse the temple, and God reigns. Shed the impurity, and the ear is unsealed. The truth unveils her face not to the clever, but to the humble. When the sin of Samaria is ended, the word of God flashes and flames with new light. There is rest for the weary wanderer. The music is restored. The young virgins are pure. The young men are strong. The emasculated soul is healed. He that hath an ear, let him hear.